Oh, it's good to be here. It's good to be here this morning. So the last few weeks, we've been looking at this series on Philippians that hopefully you've gathered, all from the same book. So 2 weeks ago, that was the repacking the dishwasher talk. We remember that one? Yeah, if you're here, cheer for those who repack the dishwasher. I nearly stopped myself doing it the other day. I couldn't. I know, it's terrible, isn't it? Terrible. So I clearly haven't learned a lot from the series just yet. But anyway, hopefully things will improve. So anyway, that was 2 weeks ago. That was Confessions of a Control Freak. That's how the message was that the only person you can control on a good day is yourself. That was the take-home message from 2 weeks ago. I hope that was helpful to you. And then last week, we were looking at gratitude around the topic of harvest, knowing that we have got a lot to be thankful for. In fact, go on, tell the person next to you something you're thankful for, or think to yourself if you don't want to talk to them. One thing. That was good. It's good, isn't it? Because the thing we were seeing last week, a bit from Philippians and a bit from the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers, was if you're grateful for something and don't say it, it doesn't really count for a lot. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm so grateful that person did that, but you don't actually tell them, then it doesn't count for a lot. So 2 weeks ago was about control. Last week was about gratitude. And then this week is about, as you can see from the screen, this week is about humility. Humility. Which, I feel that these are just lessons that I need to learn, and then hopefully it's helpful to other people as well. Like, this lesson is, so, when I was training to be a teacher, they put you in a class, like the class of people learning to be teachers, and they gave awards at the end of the year. Mine was for cockiest student. So I've got a lot to learn from this morning, son. I genuinely did. So what they used to do was they would give us maths problems to try and learn how to teach maths, if that makes sense. We'd all be there and we'd all be doing it. And it wasn't enough for me to do it first. I needed everyone to know that I'd done it first. Terrible. I was like a teacher's worst night, because I'd be at the back and I'd be like swinging on my chair and like fidgeting and being like, oh, give me something hard to do. That kind of, yeah, it wasn't. And it's not an attractive look. I learned. It's not an attractive look. And we know people like that, don't we? Who are just a little bit. It's not enough for them to be good at something. They need everyone to know that they're good at something. The thing is that as I was thinking about this topic of pride and humility, then unfortunately, what a lot of people do then is if they don't want to be proud and arrogant like I was when I was doing my PGC, if they don't want to be cocky like that, they go to the other end of the extreme and then they're just really mean about themselves. You know, the kind of person that you meet and they can't do a sentence without saying sorry. Like they're always apologising for something that they've done. Oh, I'm so sorry. And you think, stop talking about stuff that you're not good at. You're better than that. And so I assume, I won't ask you to tell the person next to you where you are on that scale between. But for me, neither of those extremes are helpful. It's not good to be on one hand being like, I'm the best at everything, people need to know. It's also not good to be at that other end of being so self-effacing and self-deprecating and having no self. That's not good either. So we're looking today at what it means to be humble. What it means to have this thing, humility. It is an important thing. Augustine, who's a proper theologian, he once said, if you ask me what the most important thing in Christianity is, the first is humility, the second is humility, and the third thing is humility. So it's clearly a big issue. It's a big issue for us as we try and not be like me in my PGCE class, but equally we don't want to be that person who thinks that they're rubbish at everything and trying to find a balance between the two. So, what is it that makes someone like me in a PGCE class act all cocky? And what is it that makes someone really self-deprecating? And fortunately, to work out through some of this stuff, the Bible's got quite a lot to say about it. And in Proverbs, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honour and life. The Bible's got a lot to say about humility. Ruth has already read this fantastic passage to us. We're going to look at it stage by stage. We're going to think about what this passage means for us as we try and work out how to live in humility a bit better. So, Paul says, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh." And at that point, I feel we need to apply some context, because it's not the cheeriest Bible verse. It starts off so well, doesn't it, from Paul? He's like, rejoice in the Lord. And then it takes a very dark turn. Watch out for the dogs, the mutilators of the flesh. Which all sounds a bit grim. I want to put some context on this about why Paul uses these really quite aggressive phrases. When the church started, the church that Paul was planting, planted churches all over the place. And it's a mixture of Jewish believers, people who were Jewish and now have come to accept that Jesus is the Messiah, Jewish believers, some of those. And also some Gentiles, people who had nothing to do with Yahweh, the Old Testament, the Israelites, nothing to do with them. People who just lived in Philippi or Rome and have come to love Jesus. So people like me, I'm not Jewish, I've got no Jewish heritage as far as I know. So that I'm counted as a Gentile. And the church is made up of this combination of these two groups. Now, whenever you get two different ethnicities jostling for control, it often leads to some arguments. And then the same thing happened here. So the Jewish people say, we've spent all of our lives following this Torah, the rule book. Imagine if you have spent all of your life only wearing one type of cloth. Imagine if you'd have spent all of your life knowing how important it is to be circumcised. Imagine spending all of your life never eating bacon. I know. And then imagine that half the people in your church come along and say, to be honest, we don't need to do that. We can wear many types of cloth. I've got nylon, I've got cotton, I've got all the whole lot going on at once. Imagine if people came to your church and we don't actually need to get circumcised. Imagine if people were starting to eat bacon sandwiches in your church and you've lived your whole life thinking that bacon is a big no-no. You can imagine why there is tension between those two people. Now, unfortunately, the Jewish people who have spent their whole life being circumcised, urging ones, following all of the rules, not eating bacon, they get a bit annoyed. And they start suggesting that these Gentile believers, like me, should follow all of these rules. And they're suggesting that people like me, in order to become a Christian, should be circumcised. Paul is not happy about this. He's very angry, in fact. Because Paul understands that to be accepted by God is got nothing to do with how many rules that you follow. Paul understands that the cross of Jesus, that's what buys our forgiveness. Paul understands that God loves you because he loves you because he loves you. Paul understands that what Jesus did on the cross is enough. You don't need to then follow a whole set of rules as well. So Paul comes along to these people and says, watch out for those dogs, those mutilators of the flesh. Watch out for the people who think that the rules are more important than the relationship you have between yourself and God. And he calls them dogs, which is a bit mean because the Jewish people used to call the Gentiles dogs. So he was like turning it back on themselves, I suppose. Because Paul sees right through them. And this is where I think that we come back to our topic of humility. Paul sees that they weren't following the rules because they thought the rules were important. They were following the rules because it made them feel better than the people around them. For these Jewish people, they were so convinced that everyone around them had to be circumcised. Why do they care? I mean, to put not too fine a point on it, why are you so fussed about what someone else is doing with their genitalia, to be honest? Like, are you really that obsessed with it? Why were they obsessed with it? Because it gave them a right to look down on others. That's what they cared about. They didn't want to follow the rules because they thought it was a good thing. I'm sure some of them did. But why did they want everyone else to? It was so they could look down on those that hadn't. And Paul sees right through them and says, these rules that you are trying to follow to make yourself feel better, that is what's killing you. Paul sees right through them and said, it is that judgmental attitude. You are just like everyone else. If we want to understand what humility is, I think our first lesson is to appreciate that we are all on the same boat. That actually all of us mess up. That all of us are in need of grace. That no matter how many rules that you've followed, whether you've worn one type of cloth all of your life, whether you've eaten bacon or not, that all of us come before the cross in exactly the same way. Jess, if we could have the next one, please. Thank you. I think if Paul was writing today, he would be saying exactly the same things. He would say, there's nothing wrong with giving up meat. There's nothing wrong to choose to only wear certain types of clothes. There's nothing wrong with being circumcised. But what there is something wrong with is when we decide that when by following those certain rules, we are somehow better than those that don't. Our first lesson of humility is to appreciate that we are all in the same boat together. And that's what Paul's saying to these people. He says, watch out for those mutilators of the flesh, those dogs, those people who think that they are better than you because they follow certain types of rules. Which leads us to lots of questions, doesn't it? Like, how many rules are we obsessed about that actually just make us feel better than other people? How often do we care about other people's actions, not because we think it's good for them, but because we just want to feel better than them? I'm sure the church would never do something like that. It's a bit mean, isn't it? Paul appreciates that humility comes from appreciating that we are all in the same boat. We all come to the same Saviour at the same cross. We all fall short. That we're not better than others by the actions that we do or the actions that they do. It's the first thing about humility. And then Paul goes on to say this. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God in the Spirit, who boast in Jesus Christ, who put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have such reasons for confidence. If someone else thinks they've got reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I've got more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was a tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I persecuted the church. I was faultless based on the law. See, Paul says that it's not the circumcision that makes you holy. It's following God that makes you holy. It's the cross of Jesus that makes you holy. I don't boast. So, just to put a bit of context on this again. You know when Paul goes on about his... Like, okay, so my surname is Pancaldy Loxley. Now, those of you who know a little bit about Robin Hood will know that he was the Earl of Loxley. And I'm descended from someone loosely associated with that myth. Basically, ladies and gentlemen, I am descended from Robin Hood. And you should rightly be impressed, because it is impressive. I know. I know I'm preaching on humility. And I'm learning. But anyway, so for me, you're rightly impressed by that fact. Now, for Paul, in his day, if you were a good Jewish boy, then the mark of someone being properly kosher, the mark of being someone high up in Jewish society, was you could trace your lineage back 2,000 years to Abraham. That was like the mark of, wow. So, I'm descended from Robin Hood, which is cool. But he's like, I'm descended from King Arthur. That's what Paul's saying when he's like, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee amongst Pharisees. I was faultless based. Paul is like, if anyone has got a reason to boast about the stuff that they've done, if anyone's got a reason to boast about the family that they're born into, if anyone has got a reason to boast about how respectable they are in society, I would be that person. Paul is not saying this out of jealousy because he thought that they were better than him. He's like, if anyone's got a reason to boast, but he says, I don't. I count it all as rubbish, as he says somewhere else in Galatians. He says, that doesn't count for anything. Because Paul knows that his value doesn't come from his family. Paul knows his value comes in that he is a child of God. If we want to understand what it means to be humble, it's to appreciate we're all in the same boat, and it's also to know that it doesn't matter what family you're from, it doesn't matter about your past, what matters is that you are a child of God. Why is it that some people get really cocky in certain situations? Why? It's because they're insecure, isn't it? You find the cockiest kid in a class, why are they acting like that? I tell you, it's because they're insecure. Why is it that some people always put themselves down? Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm not good at that. I'm so sorry, I haven't done that in time. Oh, I'm so sorry. Why? It's because they're insecure. Think about the place you are most comfortable in the world. Might be your own home, might be a friend's house. You're not cocky in those situations. You're not self-effacing in those situations. Why? Because in that place you know that you are loved. Paul's the same. He says, all of these reasons that would normally make me feel good about themselves, they don't count for anything. He says, I've got no confidence in the flesh, but I consider it all loss for the sake of Christ. He doesn't have confidence in the flesh. He has confidence in Christ Jesus. Because humility is knowing that you are loved. You've got nothing to prove. You've got nothing to prove. I've got one final phrase about humility that I really like that I want to share with you. And I know it's good because C.S. Lewis wrote it. And again, like Augustine, he's a proper theologian, so we should listen to him. Figure it out the next one, please. Yes, it simply says, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Amen. Which is good, isn't it? Because sometimes when Christians talk about I need to be humble, what they hear is I need to be mean about myself more. And they like grovel and they think, oh, I need to make myself smaller. That's what humility is. That's not true. That's not true. I think C.S. Lewis has got this spot on. Because humility is appreciating that we're all in the same boat. It's not looking down on other people. It's not becoming judgmental. Humility is knowing that you are loved and being comfortable in that. And I really like this. Humility is actually just thinking about yourself less than you do. Paul says something very similar. He says, what do we replace pride with? How do we become more? And Paul says it, let each of you look not to their own interests, but to the interests of others. Have the same mind of Christ. Because if you spend your life thinking about others, you won't have time to be cocky. If you spend your life giving yourself for the betterment of those around you, then you won't worry about trying to put yourself down all the time. Paul says if you just spend a bit more time thinking less about yourself, that's what humility is. That's how we become humble. I think for different people here this morning, different ones of these will apply differently. And I think for some of us, this one is really important. I want to give you an example. If you spend an evening at a soup run, it will put your life in perspective. No one comes back from serving at a place like a soup run, from serving addicts, from serving people on the outskirts of society. No one goes to that soup run and says to those guys, look how wonderful I am. They don't, do they? They do it out of humility because they appreciate that other people's problems are maybe bigger than their own. And in that process of living to better others, they discover humility. Equally, no one goes to a soup run and comes back and says, I'm rubbish, I'm not worth anything. No, because they realise that what they have within them is an ability to help others, which is incredible. If we look to others, if we look to put others first, as Paul suggests, I think in that we find the secret of humility. There are three types of things I want to pray for this morning before we finish. There's three groups of people. I want to pray for those of us who use the rules as a way to look down on others. Who in the past, we care far too much about the actions of those around us because it makes us feel better. And we need to appreciate that we are all in the same boat. We are all in need of grace. For some of us, for those of you who apologise too much, I want to pray that you know you are loved. Because you need to feel comfortable in the knowledge that God loves you. And for those of us who spend too long thinking of ourselves, we need to pray for a change of attitude so that we look to others ahead of ourselves, as Paul suggests, to have the mind of Christ in putting others before ourselves. So if that's you, I'd invite you now just to stick your hands out in front of you if you fall into any of those camps. And we're going to pray together. We're going to pray for these three things. Father, we begin by saying we are sorry for the times that we've looked down on others. We're sorry for the times that we've judged people who have different lifestyles to ourselves. We're sorry for the times that we have used following the rules as an excuse for pride and arrogance. and to lord it over others. Father, we are sorry. We appreciate that we all come to the same cross, that we all come with the same problems. We all come in the same boat, knowing that we need your grace and we need your love. Father, I want to pray for people here who apologise too much. I want to pray for the people who are too self-critical. And I want to ask that right now that we would know how much you love us. That we would be confident and comfortable in the love that you have poured out for us. That we wouldn't speak badly of ourselves because we know that we are your children. And Father, I pray for us as a church that we would look to the needs of others ahead of the needs of our own. Father, I pray that we would be willing to be self-sacrificial for the needs of others. That we wouldn't just receive your love for ourselves, but we would be willing to give it and show it to the people around us, to this village, to our communities, to our families, to our workplaces. May that be our story this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've got a bit of a challenge for you this week, which is if you are the kind of person who is a bit critical of those around you, for 1 week say nothing negative about anyone else. See if you can do it. Nothing. I'm talking none of that. Oh, did you see what so-and-so did? 1 week. See how often you do it. See if you can do 1 week without being critical behind someone's back. That includes politicians. Because God made them to. For those of you who struggle to apologise, I have exactly the same challenge for you for 1 week, but you're not allowed to say anything bad about yourself either. Because we don't want to be proud. We don't want to be proud. That's the word, isn't it? We don't want to be proud. And we also don't want to be self-deprecating. Because imagine if we lived in a culture, in a church, in a world where that was the case. Imagine if all of us looked to other people's interests. Imagine if all of us didn't have to be show off. Imagine if none of us were really self-deprecating. Imagine that kind of world, that kind of culture. Imagine how many financial crashes there would be if everyone lived like that. Well, none, obviously. Imagine how many political situations, how many wars there'd be. There wouldn't be any. That's the kind of future that we as Christians should be moving towards. One where we're not trying to be judgmental, where we're not trying to be proud, where we're looking to the interests of others. So take that challenge on this week. 1 week, try not to be critical of other people, including politicians. And don't be critical of yourself either. Let's stand together and we're going to sing to finish this morning. Thanks, Tim.